Thought I should maybe clarify my camping statements, because sometimes people think I'm judging campers, but it all happened when I was a little boy. No, I never had a tent growing up. That's how poor we were. And I would sleep out. Me and my friends, we'd try to sleep. I lived out in the country, so. But anyway, we'd go out, and about 4 o'clock, the dew would fall. So you wake up wet, you know. So then I would get on my little, had a little motorcycle, and I'd drive home, and then I'd put a pizza in the oven, the Schwanman pizza, and then I'd fall asleep, and then my mom would wake me up with the smoke coming out of the oven. I mean, that was my history of camping. Fast forward to when the men did a, we did a getaway out at Dave Morgan's, and we had a real good time out there, and all I remember was the Iowa pork chops. They're one of my favorite foods to cook on a grill. But anyway, we had a tent that time, so I was pretty excited about that. And all I remember is that he mowed off the horse weeds, and then the horse weeds come up through the bottom of the tent, you know, into the air mattress. And then I woke up in the morning, and condensation had fallen again. It was raining inside the tent. It was dry outside, but it was raining in the tent. So you can see why I'm not much on camping. Man, I just don't do it right, I guess. But I know a lot of people really love it, and I'm sure if you have the right equipment. And then one time I was doing a men's retreat up in Des Moines at a campsite through a church, and they put me in a camper that time. So I was really, I was pretty excited about that. And the guy they put me with coughed all night long. And if you're a preacher, the last thing you want to be is around somebody with a cough, because you talk for a living, you know. And so that was the most miserable night's sleep of my life. I just was just praying, you know, God, put the blood over me, man. Keep me away from this guy, you know. But anyway, so that's a little bit about my camping, and that's why I sleep in my own bed. Praise God. All right, everything good, Jackson? All right. Okay, we're going to look today. We finished up our series last week on faith confession. We're going to start into the prayer series next week, and it will be fun, don't get me wrong. Some people get scared about prayer and kind of wonder about it and stuff, but it's going to be very relational, and I think it's going to be something you can really tap into. But today we're going to look at my way or God's way. My way or God's way. And, you know, have you ever heard that old saying, there's only two ways to do things, my way or the wrong way? Have you ever heard that one? Maybe the highway too, we've heard that. But, you know, maybe your dad told you that. I think my did, and I didn't like hearing it, you know, because I had my ideas, what I wanted to do. And or maybe you had a boss one time or some sort of authority figure that would tell you their way's right and really your way's wrong. And maybe you thought that your way was really the right way and that guy's name way was the old way. And, you know, wasn't really the best way of doing it, or even the wrong way. But I think we kind of transfer some of that things over into God sometimes. Because sometimes we think that, you know, there's God's way and then the wrong way, and that's how we ought to see it. You know, we may think that God's way is old and, you know, that we have a better way, but, you know, we're wrong. And I've personally found out in my life that the wrong way is also the hard way. Has anybody ever found that out? You know, the wrong way is the hard way. And, you know, when we go through life, I think we kind of cycle through different ways. We maybe get into God, and then all of a sudden we kind of get off on our own tangent. Maybe we just don't like the way things are turning out. And so we're going to kind of look at that today. So the scripture I want to look at today, there's going to be a couple of them, but the one we're going to look at now is found in Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 12. And it says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, for your anointing to be here, to be able to break every yoke of bondage. Lord, I thank you that you gave gifts to men. And Lord, right now I yield to that gift that you put inside of me. Use it for your glory. Lord, I thank you for your anointing to be here, to break every yoke of bondage, anything that holds us back. Lord, I thank you that today barriers are going to fall. And Lord, I thank you just for a special stirring in our hearts to want to tap into you and everything that you have for each of our lives, Lord. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first point I want to look at today when I was thinking about this message is the idea of quicksand. Now, usually we start out doing life our way and then we get stuck. If you just kind of think about your life and everything that you've done, you know, sometimes, you know, we have a plan, but I want us to know that God has a destiny for us. You know, we have a plan. We get ideas of what we want to do. I know my life I thought was planned out. I've known what I thought I wanted to do with my life ever since I was a junior in high school. And I followed that plan and just went after it. And then all of a sudden, God intervened in my life. Now, there was different times during my life when I started to entertain, I guess, shall we say, the idea of God and, you know, that God might have a plan for my life. He delivered me from death, I don't know how many times, you know, from ignorant things that I had done in my life. So I knew there was something out there, but yet, you know, I just kind of wanted to do things my way. I was very stubborn in a lot of ways. And, you know, that's one good strength to have if you can channel it for good, not evil. Amen? You know, being stubborn is okay because you don't quit, but also being stubborn can be bad because you might be on the wrong path. And really, that's kind of what gets established in our life. So trouble happens, what I found out, is when we do things our way and not God's way, and we do our thing and not God's thing. Now, when I pictured this, I pictured quicksand. You don't see that on many shows these days. There's not that many Westerns out, but as a kid, they had a lot of Westerns. And, you know, they showed somebody, and all of a sudden, they'd be going along real good, and then they'd fall in the quicksand. And they're out there in that quicksand, and the more they struggled, the more they fought, and the more they strived, they just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And see, that's what happens to you and I in our life when we struggle and we fight against what God's plan is for our life. Now, I do know that, you know, our hard-headedness and different things that we do, I mean, God's given us a free will. He's not going to make you follow His plan. He's going to give you plenty of signs in life, amen? You know, I remember different signposts in my life, and God was saying, over here, over here. And I would say, I'm going this way, I'm going this way. You know, my way's better. It's a shortcut. You know, I want to get there fast. You know, I would be the type of person that would stand in front of a microwave and tap my toe. Come on, let's go right now. I want it now. You know, I should have everything I want right now. And, you know, as you look back in life, you know, I wasn't ready for everything right now. You know, we need to grow into our calling. We need to grow into the things, our destiny, what God has for our life. You know, God has a destiny for each and every one of us today. And that's His perfect plan. That's His perfect will. That is the reason why you and I were created. And not everybody taps into the center of that plan. That's the sweet spot. You know, just like a sweet spot in a bat, when you hit that sweet spot with the ball, it just flies. It's almost effortless. And see, when we get into the sweet spot of God, being able to walk where He wants us to be and be able to fulfill that calling, you know, then we start to really tap in to the great things that He has. Now, I personally believe that it's harder for a Christian when we get out of God's will. James 4:17 says, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, that's why some Christians don't read their Bibles, I think. They don't want to be held accountable. You know? You know, as long as we don't know something, we're not really accountable for it, but that's not the case. You know, God, you know, Bible says, you know, those who are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God inside of us if we're a Christian. You know, God's come to make His home inside of us. And He wants to lead us to truth. And remember, through our last series, we looked at one of the greatest authorities that you and I can really submit to is truth. How important it is to find truth for our life and to be able to walk in its power. So why do we want to do it our way instead? Number one, we think our way's faster. How many have maybe said, I'm tired of waiting on God? I think we all have. I remember, you know, my wife can testify in family. You know, there was times, you know, early in my ministry career, I would just pace the house like a caged tiger. Born again, Spirit-filled, doing what I thought, you know, God wanted me to do, and I was doing that. But yet I wanted to go faster and I would just pace the house. I knew there was more out there. I knew there was something else and, you know, I was just not waiting on God the way that I should. Number two, we think our way's easier. You know, we think it's a shortcut. You know, so we try to make our plans, and we try to maybe, you know, instead of, you know, preparation is never lost time. You've heard that old saying? So when you're doing things in life and you're preparing, can you remember your first day at work or maybe doing something? I remember starting out as an electrician. You know, I didn't know everything. You know, and I still don't. But I will say this, you know, it's nerve-wracking. You know, if I thought that I was going to be, you know, to run a big job, and it was only my first year as an apprentice, what kind of mistakes you would make? I mean, because during the process of a job, you have to put your conduit and your things in at a certain time. You know, how would you be at the last day and they're ready to open the building and you left out a few pipes here and there? You got to tear the walls down to get the stuff because I wasn't ready. I wasn't mature enough. And see, it's okay to allow yourself time to grow. And that's a good message for young kids, to know that, you know, do the things you need to do. Don't take shortcuts. And I've already alluded to this, you know, we think our way is better than God's way. Right? We think our way is right. You know, we're stubborn. You know, we think we know better. Because I know what's for me. I mean, I have my personality. That may be okay for you. But for me, this is what I know I need to do. I need to go about things this way. I don't know how many people have maybe jumped into the wrong relationship, you know, because they think it felt right, you know, and that's my next point. Our way just feels right. And feelings are unstable because they change. And a lot of times we just, if we, you know, the Bible says there a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. So if we just go by our feelings, we just hop in there, well, it feels right. If it feels right, I should do it. So then you do that, and then all of a sudden things start to unravel. And they start to break apart in life. And that's how we get hurt. Because God loves us so much. I'm not saying if you follow God, you'll never have another problem in your life, because that's a lie. We will have problems, but we're going to have solutions in our life. We're going to have somebody in our life that can lead us and guide us and to be able to take us and heal us up and love on us and to be able to take us where we need to be. So we can fulfill the call. I'll tell you what, the greatest thing that you and I can do is to step into God's will for our life. You know, a lot of times people resist it. They're afraid. You know, like God, you know, they think that if they follow God, they're going to have to become some missionary to the deepest, darkest, remotest place where there's no bathrooms. You got to eat bugs for a living. You know what I mean? That's kind of what they get. I mean, maybe the church has portrayed that. And in the old time preaching, they say, well, you follow God, it's going to be bad. You're going to have all these things. No. I mean, yeah, there's going to be attacks. But I'll tell you what, the greatest thing I've ever done was to give my life to God and to start to follow Him. And I'll be honest with you people, I was very successful as a sinner. I was very good at sinning, and I made a lot of money. I always had what I wanted. But you know what? It was never enough. No matter what I did, it was never enough. There was always something missing. And finally, I found out that it was Jesus Christ needing to live inside of me. And me following his plan for my life. And when I stepped into that, I stepped into my destiny. And then things started to fall into place and life was changed. Now we have an attack against our mind today. And we've had it for a long time, but it's really prevalent now. And that's my next point, and that's universalism. You know, that's kind of a big word. If you say it real fast, you'd probably mess it up. But universalism is a kind of thinking that's really crept into our culture today. And it's everywhere. And it's being promoted in a lot of places, and it's over the airwaves, it's on, you know, social media, it's, you know, even in schools and things like this. And what it is, and I'm gonna go at it from a Christian perspective first, and then we're gonna look at it from a little bit of a secular view too. But it's the doctrine that teaches that all men will be saved in the end. There's many ways back to God. Now, it sounds all good, doesn't it? You know, who wants anybody to go to hell? Nobody, right? I don't want nobody to go to hell, but they will. That's what the Bible says. But some people don't want to accept that. They say, oh, God's not like that at all. You know, God I serve is a loving God, bless God. Well, He is a loving God. But there's more to God than just one side. It's kind of like when you look at a mountain. You can look at a mountain from different ways and see a different view. But you still got to go around it to see the whole mountain. And see, when we look at the whole counsel of God in the Bible, then we start to see the complete picture of what God's like. Yes, God is a loving God. And he wants all people to be saved, the Bible says. But he also says not everybody's going to be saved. He also says that some people's going to miss out. And, you know, we're not going to go into that totally today. But, you know, that's kind of the mindset here. So they only focus on the love of God, and they forget about the justice of God. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come. God's justice had to be satisfied. When a crime is committed, justice has to be served. And the committed crime was sin. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and that's why Jesus Christ came, and his blood was shed, and his blood was payment for you and I, so that we can go free, and that sin doesn't have to be a barrier between us and God anymore. Now, even though the price has been paid, we still have to appropriate it or bring it into our life by faith. We have to receive it by faith and take it for ourselves. And not everybody does that because they don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it their way. They want God on their terms. And see, that's when we get in trouble. And that's where we as a culture, it's been ingrained in us a little bit that we're not going to stand up against. What happens is sometimes they discredit the translations of the Bible and they throw out the things. It's kind of like I've always said, you know, there's some places in a supermarket I've never went down that aisle because I don't need that stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's certain aisles I like. I like the meat and vegetables, maybe a few taters every now and then. You know what I'm saying? You know, but I tell you what, there's other aisles I never go down. I don't want that stuff, but you can't do that with God's word. You can't just pick and choose which part you like and which part you don't like. That's why we got to do it God's way and not man's way. It's kind of a, what I call the anything goes and nobody is wrong mentality. You know, it's kind of like they do today with the participation ribbons. I don't know where you stand on that, but, you know, the first place and the last place in the race gets the same ribbon. I mean, that's all great at a young age, maybe, I don't know. But as they get a little older, you have to find out in life that not everybody gets the same thing. And there is a reward for hard work. And when we put the time in, you're going to get rewarded. I mean, how would you like it if you went to work and you studied and you showed yourself approved and learned everything and then the boss gave the person who hardly ever comes the same amount of money as you? That, you wouldn't like that. I don't think you would. I remember when I was first coming to Christ, I wasn't coming yet, you know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't really going after him, but I was kind of thinking about it because I knew I was missing something in my life, even though I tried to fill it with all these other things. And maybe you've done that too in your life. You try to put stuff in there, you know, just to try to fill that little void. And I remember this tract that somebody showed me, and I've never found that tract since. And I'd like to find it because it really made an impact in my mind that night. Because the person was sharing the gospel, and they showed me this tract, and I looked at it, and it showed like all these pathways, just going every way. But yet you had to kind of, it's like a maze, but you had to follow the one to get to God. Every other path led to destruction. And see, we kind of get the idea, if you have a universalism mindset, that everybody's going to be okay. Everybody's going to make it to God. But see, we're telling a lie to people. And I believe the blood is on our hands. You know, there's enough scriptural evidence to tell that we need to be delivered from the blood, you know, on our hands. And that means we need to be able to share the truth about what's really going on. And, you know, now I never accepted Jesus Christ that night. But I was, God used that as a sign, you know, like a signpost in my life to show, hey, you know, you need to be thinking about this. It wasn't until, I suppose, 2 or 3 years later that I finally bowed my knee to Jesus Christ. I was, like I said, I was stubborn. I'll be honest, as a little kid growing up, you know, I kind of dropped out of church. And, you know, somebody would ask me about it, and I said, I got my own religion. I prayed to Jesus every night, people. I did that Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer like nobody. I had that baby. I could do that, boom, just like that. You know, I prayed to him. But I didn't do it his way. I did it my way. And I never knew him personally. So if I would have died in my sins, I know I would have been separated from God for all eternity. And that's a heavy statement. But it's true. Oh, I had good intentions. And I never really hurt anybody. I mostly just hurt myself. But yet, you know, I was separated from God. See, our culture struggles with right and wrong being an absolute, you know, with laws and how everything is. And, you know, when I was growing up, I haven't heard this saying much, but laws are made to be broken. You know, rebel without a cause, rebel, you know what I'm saying? You know, all these ideas that go through our mind that we can just do what we want, when we want, just because we want to. And what happens sometimes is that our culture has tried to hem the church in a corner that tells us that when we talk about problems in culture and problems that are around us, we're judging people. Now, I want us to see there's a difference between judging and warning people of impending doom, because it's very important that we understand the difference. When you judge somebody, you're actually playing God, and you're telling them that you can't, there's no hope for you. But if you're actually taking God and His Word and telling them what the Word says and warning them out of love, that's not judging. That's just good preaching right there. That's just telling them what they need to hear. That's telling them that, hey, you know, things aren't going good. Now, I don't do a lot of swimming, but, you know, if I was on a beach, and it's just a beautiful beach, I've been on a couple in my day, and the sand is just all pristine, and you look out at the water, it's just so magnificent, you know, and the waves are just rolling in, and everybody's just frolicking around, just having a good time, and all of a sudden you look out and you see a shark. What do you do? It's a no-brainer. You'd warn people, right? But they're having so much fun. It's such a beautiful day. Do we tell them and ruin their day? You know, make them come out of the water? I mean, they're having fun. Well, we know we would tell them, right? Well, what's the difference between that and entering into other things with impending doom coming, right? Because people without Jesus Christ are separated from Him for all eternity. Now, I want to maybe share a little bit about something. It's more of a cultural issue. And because, you know, we get kind of hemmed in it because we don't want to stick our nose in other people's business. And I'm not all about that. Although I am maybe going to discuss something with my neighbors when we heard the pounding last night at 3:00. You know what I'm saying? May discuss that one with him. I may stick my nose in that business. I don't know what that pounding was, but Lord have mercy. We have been hemmed in. I'm going to mention some cultural things, and I'm not going to tell you which way I fall on anything, but I just want us to think about something. Because here's what happens to you and I. And it's a hard thing, and I think we have to deal with this. We have to get this sorted out in our head. Now, many people may have different views on these, and I'm not trying to make anybody mad right now, but I'm just going to throw some things out there. Now, there's different people have different stances on gay marriage in our culture, right? I think that's a fair one. I mean, you could even see it on Facebook, man. I mean, boom, 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 everybody gets after each other, right? Now, maybe starting out, you're against gay marriage. Until maybe one of your coworkers who you love and is very friend, you know, get along with, and they come out of the closet, and then they want to get married. So now you change your stance. What changed? Your feelings towards that person influenced what maybe you believed before. How about, what's another one that we kind of look at sometimes? One that's in the TV all the time today. You know, wherever you stand on illegal aliens. Or I don't know if that's the right word. I think there's another word they want us to use. I can't remember what it is. But, you know, maybe you strongly believe that, you know, we should not have illegal aliens in our country. They should, you know, check in and do it the right way. Maybe you believe that and you're a staunch believer of that until you meet one. And then they become your friend. Can you look them in the eye and say, hey, you shouldn't be here? I'll tell you how real this is. I went to a conference. It's been years ago, and it just shocked me because it was a group that I was affiliated with, and, you know, the Bible says there's salvation in none other than Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12, I believe. Now, I went there, and all of a sudden, some of the speakers were saying that they kind of led to believe, and they had some Jewish friends. And these Jews, they weren't Christians yet. You know what I mean? They were really believing Jews, and they just went for the Old Testament. Well, they were in the service, and they were talking how we need to love Israel, and we need to care for Israel, and yeah, all this stuff. And it was very uncomfortable, because as a Christian, you know, Jesus came for the Jews as well as the non-Jews. But they were not willing to mention that. And so it was compromised because they loved these people. And I'm just telling you, I just want you to think, I'm not telling you how to believe right now. But I just want you to know, we need to think some of these things out so that universalism doesn't come into our mind and it affects us how we believe. Now, I can still look across the table with somebody that I don't believe in anything, and I can still be friendly towards them. But I still have to have the guts to say, I'm sorry, but what I see in Scripture is that salvation is only through Christ. As far as we know, there is no other way. If God has another plan, He didn't reveal it to us. So we need to stay with what the Bible says. You may not be the most popular person in town. And you don't have to be mean about it. I mean, the last thing Christians need to do is be obnoxious. But when you say, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, let's just open the Bible and see what it says. You know, this is what the Bible says. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I need to stay true to God. And this is what I believe. And, you know, and hopefully we can still, you know, get along with each other, not have any hard feelings about anything. You know, and if you don't want to have me as a friend no more, I'm sorry. I still love you. Hopefully you'll show me the same courtesy and love me back. You know, Christians, we do not need to always compromise our standards to fit into a world that doesn't really love us anyway. There's my way, and then there's God's way. And sometimes it's a hard decision that we have to make. You know, God's standard is higher than our standard, and, you know, our standards have changed over our lifetime. You know, behavior that used to be unacceptable, but you wouldn't even think about, you wouldn't even talk about, you know, in small circles, now is acceptable. It's even on TV. That's how far our culture has degraded, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. Words that are being said on TV, I mean, you would almost apologize if you was in mixed company when I was a kid and those words were said. So I'm not wanting to paint a picture that's all bad out there. It's not. There's a lot of good out there. But I'm just wanting us to kind of think about, you know, our way and God's way. Now, we need to view absolutes and right and wrong in light of God's word, not just our culture. And, you know, the Bible, again, says there's a way that seems right to man. You know, that's because everybody else is doing it. Now, the next scripture I want to look at before we hit our last point here is found in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8, it says, a highway will be there, a roadway. It will be called the highway of holiness. You know, I used to listen to Highway to Hell, you know, growing up. I mean, that was my theme song there in the 80s, man, early 80s. You know, I got saved in 1983. Glory to God. So the early 80s. Maybe the late 70s too, if I really want to be honest. But see, there's another highway that God has, and that's God's way. So it says that a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander it. So there we see a passage here, and the next point is my way is the highway. And that's God talking right there. You know, sometimes me and my dad, or my dad and I, we would butt heads. Him and I worked together ever since, you know, I was, you know, after I was old enough just to go out and farm with him. He was a farmer. And kids who work with their parents every day kind of know what I'm talking about. You know, it's one thing for you kids to get to go to school and escape for a little bit, but, you know, or go have your, you know, dad's working at a factory or somewhere where you can't go. But, you know, I was on with my dad, you know, all the time. And we got along quite a bit of the time, but every now and then we wouldn't. And, you know, Sometimes I would look at it growing up that it was his way or the highway sometimes. And I think you, most kids probably see that, especially as a teenager growing up. You know, we don't want to follow that highway that's good, but we want to do our own thing. And, you know, and there was an old show, it's not out, I don't know if you can find it, you might find it on YouTube, but Father Knows Best. And I will say this, that, you know, as a rebellious teenager, the last thing I liked in life was when Dad was right and I was wrong. I hated that. Just hated it, you know. And, you know, part of it is, and a lot of us probably have found that out, you just can't fight experience. You know, you may test out on an ACT a lot better than your dad and mom, but they got something on you guys, and that's experience. They've lived life. And there's a lot of life lessons that we can gain a lot of knowledge from. And that's important that we give credit where credit's due. And as a rebellious teenager, you don't want to do that. You don't want to give that. And, you know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And what I found out, a revelation God gave me one time, is that the grace of God makes it a four-lane highway. I don't know about you, but growing up, we didn't have many four-lane highways. We just had the old two-laners. I mean, it took a pilgrimage almost to get some places, you know. But now you got them four-way highways. We can just hop on a four-laner over to Eddyville and bam, you're in Oskaloosa. Or you want to, I mean, when I was a kid growing up, you know, we went to Des Moines once a year. I mean, that was a big thing. You made plans, man. You put, I mean, we're going to Des Moines, you know. Woo! You know, because we didn't get to go do nothing. And, you know, we're going to Des Moines and we always got to go to Pizza Hut. That was a thing, man. Sears and Pizza Hut. And I'll be honest, my two main stores in life were JCPenney and Sears. I know they're struggling, but, you know, those are my two main wheelhouse places. And Menards, praise God. But I don't know. It's just like a big thing to go to Des Moines. But now, with the four lane, you hop on that thing, and man, you can be there in no time. People go up there just to eat and come home now. I mean, as a kid, nobody, my parents wouldn't have done that. Man, they wouldn't just drive to Des Moines to eat and haul us up there to eat at Pizza Hut and come home just for that. No, we had to have a plan, man. We had to go to all these places and make a big deal out of it. But see, the grace of God, when you and I learn how to tap into that, it's like a four-lane highway that God prepares for us, that He makes it so you and I can travel on that highway. It's a highway of holiness. And what happens is the idea that, you know, it's not by works, but it's about what we allow God to do through us. You may say today, Pastor Brad, I've tried to do it God's way and I can't. Quit trying. Just let Him have it. Just give it over to God. You know, God gave me a revelation the other day, and it's an old one, but, you know, God will never ask us to do something that He's not able to do through us. Everything that God has asked me to do in life, many of it's been way beyond my ability in my own thinking. But God would not ask you to do something that He would not do through you. If we allow God to live through us, there's nothing that we can't accomplish for Him as we walk in His will. You know, maybe you're scared to let somebody else take control today. Maybe you've been in bad relationships, and maybe you've been abused mentally, and all these different things have come into your life, and so you feel you have to keep your guard up. You have to keep people away, and you even keep God away. I just want to challenge you today to trust God and let God. Just give yourself over to God today. Let Him heal them hurts. Let Him come in and take control. You know, maybe you feel like you're lost in the wilderness, and that's what this passage is talking about. This highway is out in the middle of nowhere. It's out in the wilderness. Not about you, but I've been in the wilderness of life before. I've been lost where I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know which way to turn. All I can say is turn to God. Turn to God with your life. Let Him have your life. I mean, look at what we've done with our life. I mean, yeah, like I said, we can have some success, but usually we make a mess of it. All I can challenge is turn to God. Just start heading His direction. We may not know the whole plan that God has for our life. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow totally. I know a few things, or the day after. I got a few ideas. But see, I don't know definitely what the future's going to hold. And you don't either, for the most part. But if we turn to God and just let God, and we start to do it God's way, it's going to be a highway. And we can follow that highway to where God wants us to be. Amen? Let's pray.